When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, it is FMC. I am Jeremy. That is SP3. And it's been a few weeks, but we are back. SP3, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing well today on a Tuesday. It's been a while. It's been a while on a Tuesday. My two regular Tuesday co-hosts of Jeremy and Romeo, I have not done a podcast on a Tuesday with them in like what feels like a month. Because Romeo's been getting replaced on Rated Raw Review every week ever since football season came near. He's been running from the grind. I feel like I'm doing In the Weeds with Joel Pearl. But well, I'm glad to be back with you, sir. I know life is going to life. I know you're the hardest working man in wrestling media, and you have 101 kids. So I appreciate you on this Tuesday morning.
Yes, it has been my fault, the reason the show's not happened in the past few weeks. Last week, I had COVID. The previous Tuesday, I was just really ill, and like, I just wasn't feeling well. And I feel like we missed we actually didn't miss a show before that. We skipped our challenge review because Cher wasn't around, and that's why we didn't do the review that week. So
We did Love Is Blind, I believe.
Yeah, we did Love Is Blind. So it's only been 2 weeks. It feels like it's been longer because we have three episodes of the challenge to catch up on. So that's why I'm thinking it's been longer. But yeah, I've been sick the past couple of weeks. And as SP3 learned, the reason why the show is running late today is also my fault. Personal life is getting in the way of things. But I appreciate you that you're here. I appreciate you understanding the last couple of weeks and understanding today with everything. So, but we are here. We're going to talk about the challenge. It's been a good season so far. And we got a lot to catch up on with this season. Before we do all of that, guys, you can leave a thumbs up on the video. That helps us out. Leave us a super chat. That helps us out. That helps people on this channel out. And you subscribe to the channel as well. That helps everybody. That helps everybody out. I can say this now also publicly more, even though I said it privately and on social media, but congratulations on the SI job.
Thank you.
I appreciate you always put me over with how hard I work. I feel like you work just as hard, if not harder, with all the stuff you have going on as well. I feel like you do a show every single day on top of writing, on top of everything else. But big time congratulations for the SI gig, and certainly much well earned and much well deserved.
Thank you so much, man. I've been really kind of like overwhelmed and like feeling the love from people that I know and I'm close with, like you and people, you know, from around the social media world, people I grew up with. I put a post on Facebook and I had people that I went to like elementary school with congratulating me. So it's been very, very nice and definitely a career milestone for myself, because I like been following Sports Illustrated. I've been telling the story since I found my dad's swimsuit collection magazine under his bed when I was like 4 or 5 years old. So I've been following the outlet since there. So it is kind of crazy for me to say that I now work with them. I'm still doing my written work over at WrestleTalk.com. So still over there, riding high, doing well over there. They're doing great stuff over there. But it's cool to kind of bring my TNA interviews over in written form to Sports Illustrated. I'm going to be doing some player profiles, some features over there as well. So I'm very excited for this new role. But thank you, sir. And since I've said it online, I got to say it here. Happy birthday, good brother. Happy birthday. I know, like, four or five people that have the same birthday as you, but you were the only one I had to put on social media, let it be known. Happy birthday to one of my best friends in the wrestling media world, one of my favorite people that I've ever went to a show with. Still to this day, I'm going to give, like, you don't get like a high percentage, but you get like 2% credit for why AEW Revolution is my favorite show of the year, because I got to sit next to you and go to my first wrestling event with you. So I love hanging out with you in person, love hanging out with you on this show, in the weeds, and anything else we do. We still need to, you know, check our box for your one appearance per year on True Hill Heat. We also got to do that before 2024 is in the books, but always have a great time with you. So happy birthday, good brother.
I showed up to the WrestleMania review to, of course,
that was, wasn't that last year?
No, that was this year.
Yeah,
it was the Praise Snoop Dogg. You held the show when the friggin' eclipse was going on. Like, I couldn't miss that event. No offense to your show. I would have skipped my own show. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime eclipse going on. But I had to, you know, come in there and praise Snoop Dogg to keep the running bit going. Thank you for the birthday wishes. I said this to my wife, and I feel like I've said this to you. If not, I'm gonna say it to you now. Revolution was a lot of fun, not only because, like, hanging out with you and at the show, and, you know, I bought a ticket, and but I was like, I don't really want to watch this show with people that I don't know in the crowd, and you are just like, yeah, just come over, sit in the section over here, it'll be fine. But like that whole weekend, you and your friends were very accommodating and very nice and very welcoming of like, hey, yeah, we're going to do this, come hang out. And of course we did the karaoke and all this stuff, but like you made me feel very just part of everything with being down there, and I really appreciate that. So like, if I've not told you that, I'll tell you that now. But I know I mentioned that to the wife not too long ago, because we were talking about something. I was like, oh yeah, SP3 and his friends, like at Revolution, were just so kind and hospitable with yes, with everything. So I appreciate that. All right, let's get into it. We do have the challenge to talk about. I gotta send this link to our pal Cher Delaware before, real quickly, Remorse Betrayal is just saying, how goes football? Well, Remorse Betrayal, I'm a Panthers fan. So football lasted about 5 minutes in this household. That's how football goes for me. How about you, SV3?
Football goes how my fantasy team goes. So it was good week one, getting a win over Fightful's own Sean Rossap. Because CMC got injured, so I was worried because that was Monday Night Football. I was like, he could just steal this victory away from me if this guy has a big game. But he was injured. He was out. So I got to win week one against Sean. I lost the second week against Scotty, mainly because all my people just were below their projections. It was like, ugh. So, yeah, it's been up and down so far for football for me in our fantasy league and in football overall. That's how I follow the football world, is by that, especially being you know, over here in the UK. I can't just flip it on a Sunday afternoon if I'm like working or doing something else. I can't flick it on my TV because it doesn't get the stream over here. I have to go on like crack streams and stuff like that to find any football games, and then it's very hard because I don't have a team for me to just figure out, okay, I want to watch this game. Mainly I just look at the scores and I'm like, okay, this is a close game, let me turn that on. That's how I watch football nowadays.
I just checked my fantasy team. I beat Ricochino this week. I'm not happy that Christian McCaffrey got injured, but I took Jordan Mason in our draft because I knew McCaffrey was dealing with an injury. And I'm like, I know the history of Christian McCaffrey well enough, being a Panthers fan. He's going to miss some games this year. So I'm going to take Mason because I feel like he's going to get some reps. And sure enough, he got some reps. As I beat Ricochino this week. I have the Dolphins defense and I need to drop that defense because they're not that good.
Yeah, I mean, based on this week, I might have to drop the Dallas Cowboy defense. They
do. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oof. Oof. Yeah. Oof. And I don't have another defensive team because I don't worry about that type of stuff. I worry about that when it's the bye week for getting a new defense, but they did so bad that I think I'm going to look at the free agency and see if anything's available for me.
Oh, Ryan's saying he has McCaffrey and Tua, and that's rough, Ryan. Go pick up Bryce Young. Go pick up Andy Dalton. He might play well this week. Yeah, he can't play any worse than Bryce Young, that's for sure. I remember Morse Trail saying, why am I a Panthers fan? I lived in North Carolina when the Panthers were founded there. I grew up a Cowboys fan in the 90s because my dad was a Redskins fan and I just wanted to oppose my dad. I was like, oh, all right, who's your team? Who's their biggest rival? All right, that's who I'm cheering for. And like the Cowboys happened to be good with Aikman and Irvin and Emmitt Smith all those years. So like that was helpful. But then like I just didn't want to. Once I got a little bit older, I was like, yeah, I don't really just like want to be a Cowboys fan. I wasn't that into them. And my reasoning for being a Cowboys fan was like, oh, my dad's just against them. So that's not the best reason in the world.
Hey,
so
once that is a good reason. That was why I was a Bulls, outside of Michael Jordan being the GOAT. The main reason I was a Bulls fan is because my mom and my stepdad were Knicks fans. And I was like, well, let me pick the team that always beats your heads in. So I was like, that's why I was a Bulls fan growing up until I was like, 8-9 years old, and I saw Kobe Bryant in the McDonald's All-American, and then became a Laker fan after that.
Well, once the Panthers became an organization, like that became the local game, because before in North Carolina we would get the Redskins game, that would be the local games for us. But then once the Panthers became a thing, they became the local game. So because they became the local game, and then my dad kind of just started to become, he wasn't like the biggest Redskins fan in the world or anything, but once like we would watch Panthers every Sunday, and then it just became a thing of like we both just sort of liked having a local team, and so we just cheered for the local team. We just kind of bonded over that and being Panthers fans. And now they've won two games since my dad passed last June, so he's looking down on heaven and just saying like, yeah, I got out of here at the right time. This team fucking sucks.
What a pop. Oh man. Yeah, I understand. Me and my dad, we bonded over the Yankees. That was the only New York team that I liked at the time. I've ever liked, really. I don't like the Knicks, don't like the Giants, don't like the Jets, don't like the Mets, only the Yankees.
All right, what else? What do we have? I've sent the link to our pal Cher Delaware. We will see when she joins us here in a moment, hopefully. I know she's always busy. She's Cher Delaware.
We'll give her a beat a little bit here.
Yeah, we 100% gotta actually catch up.
We do. Regardless of if she comes or not, because then we'll be freaking reviewing four episodes, and this week's episode, I think we're gonna need like the time.
Oh, I don't watch I don't watch the teaser trailers. I stay away from that.
Well, even I didn't see any teaser trailers. It's been online. I just been online, and now my feed picks up on challenge stuff, and everybody's talking about this one being. I'm sorry, I have to tell you, it's a Kara and Laurel.
Oh, okay. That's fine. All right. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what everybody has been talking about online. So we got to, it's going to be a juicy one. Why they had their latest fallout is in this next episode. So,
all right.
Yeah. So we're going to see that in this next episode. And I think we're going to need the time to talk about that next week. So yeah, we got to get through these episodes. On a note of just anything random, not wrestling related, that I could talk about here. Just want to make my two. I'm going to be giving movie and TV show suggestions for people now on FMC. And I want to tell y'all, you need to watch on Netflix, even if Jeremy, if it's for Jeremy as well, Rebel Ridge on Netflix.
Okay.
I think it was in the top 10 on Netflix. It stars Aaron Pierre and Don Johnson as a heel, which is great stuff in general. But Rebel Ridge, really good movie. And also another good movie that I saw on Netflix. Netflix been putting out some bangers as of late, or just interesting movies. You can kind of give your opinion if you think it's good or bad or indifferent. Deliverance, which is based on a true story. It's based on a true story of like this haunted house that basically it possesses one of this lady's kids, and it stars Monique. It stars Glenn Close. Glenn Close is in that as well.
All right. Right now I've just been rewatching, but sort of rewatching, but also not rewatching because I don't have any memory of it. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, something light and just something funny. Yeah. So that's what I've been binging on when I have time to watch stuff. Get it, you know, getting into like how long are these shows?
Oh, these are movies.
Okay.
Rebel Ridge and Deliverance. Rebel Ridge is a rather long movie. I think it's over 2 hours. And Deliverance, I would say, is like 1 hour and 45 minutes. Ryan said the other Lambert says that Deliverance is too good. It is. It's really good. Both of those movies is just suggestions from my missus, because she likes to watch stuff with me when we're done watching 90 Days, which is our main source of reality television that we watch together. Oh, and we've been watching because we're here in the UK. So we got the better version of Dead and Naked. Oh my God. Where they show all the private parts.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The wife and I watched that. Yeah. It was we watched it.
Oh, okay. You need to, if you're able to watch this. I don't know if it's a UK version or not, but it's the version that's not the US. Cause my missus told me that, the US version, they blur out the private part. Like this version, they don't.
Oh, so. Jeez. Okay.
They don't. They don't blur out any other private parts. It's just wieners and titties everywhere. Like
dick
that's
slanging
all
everywhere.
The dudes be running. They're flopping around. Dudes be doing the confessional, talking like this, legs wide open, and just. Oh my God, it's so interesting, and we are just so invested in it. We're like, this is Love is Blind but naked. Love Island but naked. That's it's really basically Love Island, but everyone's naked. It's very interesting. It's a social experience, and for someone like my missus, who's very conservative and like doesn't like all the bunch of naked people, she's strangely into this. She's not aroused. She's disgusted most of the time, but she's strangely invested in the show, and I am through her as well. So, Dated Naked suggestion. And I did start The Circle season 7.
Jeez,
I was stunned when I was like. Because even when I saw the trailer for it, when they said, oh yeah, new season of The Circle, I'm like, didn't the last season just end a couple of months ago? I would have sworn like season 6 ended a few months ago. I was like, what is going on here? But yeah,
Circle season. Have you watched? I don't know if you get ads for it or anything, being in the UK. And I can't think of the name of it. It airs after Raw on USA Network, though. It's from the producers of like The Circle, and I think even Traitors.
Anonymous, right?
Yeah. I think that's what's called Anonymous. Yeah.
I see a little bit of it. If I am up for like Raw and I make it to the end of Raw, I do see like the little bit of it after it. I did see what's his name from Big Brother is on it. The dude that was on Challenge USA. For the cookout. Yeah. The main one from the cookout that won Big Brother.
Okay.
I forget his name. Xavier.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on that. He's on Anonymous.
Speaking of movies and Netflix movies, completely different category than the movies you just mentioned. We watched Family Switch this weekend. Have you seen the ad for that? It is.
No, I haven't.
It's literally Freaky Friday. You know, movie Freaky Friday. It's that, but it's the entire family instead of just the mom and the daughter. So like the mom and the daughter switch, the father and son switch, and the dog and the baby switch. Jennifer Garner is in it. Ed Helms is in it. Edna from Wednesday, she's in it. Yeah, so like it was a cute little family movie. The kids wanted to watch it this weekend, and
I might have to suggest that to the missus. She might.
Yeah, it's again cute little. It's like an hour and a half long, so like it's very very quick and straightforward. You know what you're getting with a movie like this, but yeah, the kids were browsing through Netflix and was like, oh, this looks cute, and I was like, oh, sure, let's watch this. So that is what we watched this weekend. That was like the first movie I think I've watched since we went to theaters and saw the new Minions movie. Although, but like sitting down and like watching a movie, I can't remember the last time we've actually done that. Doesn't happen.
Makes sense.
All we watch is wrestling and sports.
They did announce Deadpool and Wolverine is coming to Disney Plus on October 1st.
Okay, well, I will at some point watch that, and I'll probably watch it in like multiple sittings as I, you know, like when everybody goes to bed. Yeah.
Understandable. And I believe Inside Out 2 is supposed to be on Disney.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
That's good. We did go see that.
My kid cannot go into movie theater. My daughter, I think, has early stages of either autism or ADHD. So she can't stay sit still for anything. And she needs her phones and tablets. She needs multiple of them at this point because her attention, she just needs everything on at the same time. So we can't go to a movie theater. Like, I wanted to bring her to go see Deadpool and Wolverine because she loves the superheroes. She loves Marvel. But my son probably is better at that, but I don't want to take one and not bring the other. So I basically had to go see Deadpool and Wolverine on my own.
We saw Inside Out 2. It was like a drive-in movie.
Okay.
So yeah, you go and obviously you're in the vehicle in the parking lot, and the audio plays through like your car speakers and everything. Nice. It's very interesting. Never done it.
Yeah.
Before, but like it's hilarious because like we went and like there's like a screen on this side, so if like you're facing this way, you're obviously watching this screen, and then there's a screen on this side, so if you're facing this way, you're on this screen. So like Inside Out 2 is over here, Bad Boys is on this one, and I'm just like, what if we just switch the audio to the Bad Boys movie and just watch that? Of course, we got the kids.
You watch Inside Out, but you listen to Bad Boys.
But it's like if you turn around, you're getting a completely different movie. It's like, oh yeah, Inside Out, cute little family movie. You turn this way, it's like guns shooting and everything, and all this shit going on. It's like, wow, it's two complete. Again, it's not even like it's separate like parking lots of like, oh, it's one over here. And then around the corner is like the other movie and stuff. No, it's literally like you're facing this way, watching this one, just turn your head the other way. You're watching a completely different movie.
That's awesome.
It's a really cool setup. Yeah, it's a really cool setup of what they have. But Yeah, we've been to two movies this year. That's, we usually go to one. It's usually like one movie a year, but we've actually been to two this year. Probably all for us. I don't know if there's anything else coming out that we really want to see, but all right. I don't know where Cher Delaware is. So we're going to get into the challenge. And then whenever Cher Delaware comes in, then we will just kind of pick things up. Cause we are way back on episode 2 of the challenge. So episode 1 was the big, the challenge is almost
invitational.
Invitational. That's the word for it.
It was basically to rank who was like basically the top people of each era, because you were competing against your own era basically in the invitational, and who was the loser who was going to go into the Night of Eliminations, which was episode 2. I think we talked about that episode a few weeks back with Cher, and then that led into episode 2, which I think we talked a little bit of that when we did Love Is Blind UK.
Yeah, we talked about the editing around it. Yeah. So we don't need to go into that. We'll just kind of get right into the games and everything that they played. Your memory's a lot better on this stuff than mine. So I'm going to let you take over and lead the recap here.
So they basically had the defining elimination of each era. So era 1, that introduced Balls In. Era 2 introduced Pole Wrestle. Era 3 introduced Hall Brawl. And then era 4 was, what is it called? Shelter or something like that? Build Your Shelter or... I don't remember it. Should have been... what's the name of that one? The one with the rope.
Take shelter.
There you go. Yeah. Take Shelter was it, but it should have been the one with the rope. The one with the rope is probably up.
Oh, here. The rope and like the big jungle gym and yes.
That should have been one of the eliminations. That's me personally, but those were the eliminations, and then each era basically got up to a board and had to pull down what they were going to play. So era 4 pulled down a Hall Brawl, era 2 pulled down Take Shelter, era 3 pulled down Balls In, and era 1 pulled down Pole Wrestle. So I believe the first one to go was Balls In, because they did it in the order of when they were introduced. So it was Era 3, and you had Naya and Leroy were the bottom half of Era 3. They came in last for them. And who was voted in by Corey and Tori was... Corey, of course, put it in Tony because of their rivalry, Pastagate. And Amanda voting in Tori because of their longstanding rivalry. And we did get a flashback to after they made their picks with Amanda just going in on Corey and everybody watching just smiling as Norris is with Horacio basically like rooting Amanda on and laughing. You see Jordan looking on and he's smiling. You see Tina basically does a confessional and she's like, yo, Amanda gonna tell you about your shit. Amanda gonna be honest. She's honest to a fault. She ain't no liar. That's for damn sure. And she basically went in on Corey because she's like, yo, you don't have anybody here. I could have been your number one. You would have been my number one. We literally said in the night before, I was sleeping in the bed next to you. And I said that we're going to do this for Nelson. And you said the same thing. And he was like, well, you never had that conversation with me. And he's like, dude, what the fuck do you think that was? That was the conversation. Corey's gonna play the game, Tori's game basically, and think that Tori's gonna have it back. But like Amanda's right, like Tori has Devin in the same era, who's her best friend, has her ex-boyfriend, ex-fiance Jordan in the same era. Like, where do you think you fall, Corey? You're always gonna be third to those two. So like, and no one has a connection to what's her name? Avery. You could have just voted in Avery. It would have been fine. You could have voted in Avery. Would have been fine. I understand Naya didn't want to go against Avery. And Corey did explain well when he did like a FaceTime or an Instagram Live with Nelson. And he explained that him and Naya actually had that talk. And she said that she didn't want to go in against Avery. So that's the main reason, probably, to him, I guess, his explanation of why he voted in Amanda. And Amanda actually impressed everybody. Amanda got a point in balls in against Nia.
I don't know if Amanda did really well. I do think she did. But the editing on this made it seem like she was going to win and did maybe way better than she actually did. Like the way they were talking her up of like, oh, Amanda, she's there. Like she might win this. And like, she did get a point. She did seem to do better than expected, but the way they edited it made it seem like we were witnessing the miracle on ice out here. And then she still lost. And I was like, wait a second, you did all this buildup and like, she still lost this whole thing. Like, credit to her. She went out there. She, you know, she mentioned like, you know, I want to prove to my children that like, you can go, you can compete. Like, even if you're the underdog, like you should still try and all this stuff. I was like, it's a good message and everything. But the way they were putting this together was like, oh shit, she's going to do this. It's like, no, she still just kind of got beat in this whole thing.
And I don't like the new rules for balls in of the circle.
Yeah.
Where you can't make contact in the circle. Like,
I yeah,
like,
that's dumb. Yeah. You just basically got to get to the circle and then like, oh, well, that's the point right there. Like, no, you got to get the ball fucking in. That's why it's called balls in.
Like, what are we doing? Why do we have to make everything so soft? At least they fell back to not making Hall Brawl as soft as it was. What was that? Challenge USA when they had fucking the fucking shields and shit.
Yeah, the shields. Like, yeah,
my God, that was fucking awful. So at least they stopped doing that. But this was like, you're kind of messing up balls in. But yeah, Nia won, pretty much swept her after it was a gentleman sweep, a gentlewoman sweep, if you will, from Nia beating Amanda after she got the first point. And she actually tackled Nia down on Nia's first try of getting the ball in. But Nia was able to score the win. She looked good. We actually got teases of her romances in this episode with Kylan second saying that Nia is so sexy, and Josh saying that he's very attracted to Nia, and he had a moment like, Nia looking good, and he looked at her like he was undressing her with his eyes in his most Josh way. But then in the other matchup in balls in, it was Tony versus Leroy, and Tony was basically, voted in by Josh, and they have their own like friendship, and they've always been basically 1A, 1B as far as Banana's sidekicks. And during the whole battle, Tony took offense to Banana's basically rooting on Leroy. But I mean, you did kind of vote in Banana's and Vendetta's, and we all know Banana's has a memory of an elephant, and he will never forget that. So
our pal Cher Delaware is here. I don't know how she's feeling. It looks like she's comfortable. Okay. I did not want to bring you on. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
I'm good. I'm just in bed.
Oh, that's what I thought. I was like, I don't know if she wants me to bring her on while she's just laying in bed, or
I mean, I would just turn the camera off if it was a problem. Fair. So.
How are you, Cher?
I'm tired.
Yeah. We're going back. We're back on episode 2 of the challenge, because that's how far behind we are on everything. We got a little bit of reprieve because there was no new episode this past week because MTV VMAs were on. But we just talked about Balls In and the Amanda not pulling off the miracle on Balls In despite the editing. And then Leroy and Tony, where SB3 was setting up, spoiler alert, Tony's victory here.
Yeah, Tony washed Leroy.
He did.
He washed him. It was just like Leroy was physically unmatched, and I hate to say I told y'all so.
I had heard that Leroy didn't even want to do 40, and they'd offered him a very nice appearance check to go on to the show. And so he didn't really care how long he was on there because, like,
oh, he got they got money up front.
Yeah, and they got those two little babies at home. Like, which now they've moved to Michigan to be closer to family. So I bet they're about to be on more seasons so that they have people to watch those kids now.
Yeah, it looked like he did not want to be on the show. No. The way he played this balls in. And then we'll get to Tony next episode where he may or may not have wanted to be on the show.
But you ain't hear nobody go in on Leroy the way they went in on Tony in the next episode.
Leroy gives haircuts.
I have a very strong opinion about the next episode and the way people went after Tony.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's get through this one. So yes, Tony won, Naya won. They are safe for their era after Balls In. Pole Wrestle. Go ahead, SB3.
So yeah, next was Era One with Pole Wrestle. So you had who was it? Katie versus Anissa, where Katie was pulling out freaking head scissors and she was working like she was a professional wrestler, putting her in the headlock and stuff. But Anissa is much bigger than Katie, and she had the size advantage, had the strength advantage. She was able to pick up the win here, but I thought Katie, like Amanda, did a nice showing for themselves. And basically, they're the same person, just in different eras. Katie, yeah. And Amanda, when you think about their characters throughout the challenge history. And then probably the most surprising upset of the who won, Derek, who is Mr. Pole Wrestle, even though he's lost more than I've seen him win. I've seen him lose in Pole Wrestle, but he did pull off the victory here against Mark. I mean, Mark, did he really want to be here? I love Mark. We love Mark here, but I don't know.
I think when you're going against people who are literally half your age, you know you're not going to win. Like,
I don't think it was a matter of like Mark didn't want to be there. I think he's just old.
Yeah.
No knock on him. Like Derek is very scrappy, especially at pole wrestle. Yeah. Too like if this is like a hall brawl, so with Mark's size, like he might have been able to just kind of run over Derek. And even like a Balls In, especially with the new rules where you just had to make it into the little circle and not actually make it into the can with the ball. But like pole wrestle, with Derek just being the way he is at pole wrestle and having so much experience on it and knowing just how to like grip and move with that, like, again, Mark's like 50. Like, no knock on him, but it's a young man's game for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And Mark's just kind of old.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much that very niche athletic ability can do for you in this. I mean, it's not like he's 50-year-old, you know, professional athlete. Like, he's a 50-year-old who reality TV star, so there's a difference too. And I mean, the challenge is not the challenge that Mark started with either, and I love Mark and I love to see him on there, but it's just different. I mean, I don't think I could beat half of these people in just normal things, and I'm younger than 90% of them. Like, I mean, he's older than 100% of them. So.
also true. So yeah, Derek pulls off the victory in Pole Wrestle. So it's Derek and Anissa going back to Era One. Then we got, oh my god,
oh,
one of the biggest beatings I think we've ever seen in an elimination hall brawl between Theo and our good friend Paulie. RIP for Paulie, because he got knocked into another dimension. He started off in Era 4, but I think he went to Era 44 with the way that Theo knocked him on his ass. Oh my god, like, yep. Just the reactions from everybody is like challenge history.
Yeah, Theo destroyed him so hard that he went and got saved afterwards. Like, he shot that man straight into Jesus's arms. That was awful. But it's funny because I listened to Theo and Bananas both like praise Polly about that elimination and how he didn't give up and everything, and he got injured. And I'm like, I would have just not, like, he's better than me, because I'd have been like, no, I'm good. I'm not going in there against Theo. You can just send me home.
We like
he got Paulie. That dog in him, but he got the dog knocked out of him.
Yeah. We like Paulie. Paulie's been on the show. I'm starting to question his overall challenge
ability.
Yeah. It's like, no, I think it is like, and maybe we can get him back on the show and talk to him about it. But it seems like ever since he had his redemption arc in USA, he's better. He's better on the challenge when he's an asshole.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I like him a lot more in USA and in this season, you know, and being, you know, with Kara and wanting to protect Kara and talking bad about Laurel, well deserved. But like, ever since he's been this like good guy, he's lost all his fight. It's like when MJF was a good guy in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the same.
I think that for Polly and Derek both, if they had about 4 more inches of height on them, they would just be unbeatable. But you don't realize how much of a disadvantage being shorter is in a lot of those competitions. I mean, you know, Polly may weigh the same muscle mass wise as someone, but when you've got someone who's freaking 8 inches taller than you that you're going against, like, that's why Laurel destroys everybody, is because she's fucking giant. So you don't realize how much of a disadvantage it puts you at. Same with Nia. Nia's in there against Amanda's 5'2" ass, and Nia's like 6 foot tall. Like, no, that's never gonna work.
So yeah, Polly got dog walked.
It was very bad when like he's basically just like holding on to Theo's ankle and TJ's yes. just like, dude, you gotta actually try to make a move here. You can't just hold on to his ankle the whole time. He's like, you gotta actually like try to win and go for the bell at some point. And then he's like, oh, okay. And then of course the moment he lets go, Theo's like 2 steps away from the buzzer. So it didn't take
and then the second long. One where he just stomped on his face, basically, on the way to the bell, like, ooh.
Yeah.
It was honestly painful to watch.
Yeah. That was a rough one for old Polly.
And the women wasn't that much closer either, because, you know, Nerys said before the matchup that she has no ill will towards Olivia, despite what happened in the last season. You know, she preferred versing, you know, Olivia over, even though Michelle tried her best to try to talk Horacio out of picking Olivia in this situation. But this is the person that his girlfriend wanted, so he gave her who she wanted, but this was the wrong elimination. This was a puzzle. Amanda and Nerys would have had a better chance. I mean, even Katie would have had a better chance. But these are physical eliminations. And in a hall brawl, Olivia's just bigger. And she has experience in the hall brawl. So they had the first one where they didn't even want to hit each other, it seemed like. They just was like, oh, let's get past each other. And Olivia got to the bell first. And then they got a little bit more physical on the next run. And Nerys actually did well at first until Olivia just got on her feet and was dragging Nerys to her bell, and then eventually got the win.
Pretty straightforward with this elimination.
And then finally, Take Shelter, which I thought was the best of the eliminations, because this is Take Shelter is more of a, it doesn't have to do with like size, strength, or anything like that. It's really about strategy more than anything. And
I think they can edit it in a way to make it like, it does appear like they were closer, but you know, you can like really edit of like, oh, this is actually really close. Where in some of these physical ones, it's like, well, Polly just got trucked. Yeah, there ain't no editing around this to make it appear all that close. Like, you know, they edited the Amanda thing. It's like, oh, Amanda did really well. It's like, well, she still lost like 3-1. And she didn't do that great on this thing. But yeah, with this, when it's a kind of a race type of thing, you can edit it to make it appear much closer than it may or may not have been.
Yeah, so it was Take Shelter, which is basically they have a whole bunch of materials and they have to close up this door and make it hard for their opponent. So they get like 15 minutes to kind of use all the materials, whether it be chain, rope. Of course, Kara is going to use a big pirate wheel and put it in the front of it. Brandon was facing Ryan on one side. Kara was facing Kellyanne on the other side. And they did do the big edit of showing that Kara found out that she was going to be voted in. And, you know, she basically calls out, you know, Bananas. Bananas just mad because I beat him in the Invitational. And, you know, Paulie had basically talked to Bananas about, like, them actually working with each other. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, what's the deal? Why you voted in Kara? He was like, well, I never had that conversation with her. I was like, This big bitch bananas, man. Come on, man. Triple B, get the hell out of here. He's like, oh, I didn't have that conversation with him. Everybody has to come to his lordship of Bananas and talk to them about working with them and being good with them. Regardless of what you do, you proved, and by the time we get to episode 4, you proved that if Laurel really wants something, you just gonna bow at her feet. You're gonna bow at the feet of Laurel. So it did not matter if Kara came and talked to you. If Laurel wanted Kara to be in there, that's who you would have voted in. So let's cut all that noise out. Let's forget all that. But yeah, it was Kara was upset, but it is what it is. She had to go against Kellyanne here. And they had a very close matchup, it seemed like. It seemed like Kellyanne was on the verge of actually, you know, breaking the last chain and getting in the door. But Kara, who was getting rooted on by a lot more people than we, especially what we've seen in All Stars 4, you had Jordan rooting for her.
Yeah, a lot more people who weren't on her team, who weren't in her era.
Yeah.
Also true. That's true. That is true. That is part of the reason why. But if you had someone like CT, who was trying to like give her the pep talk when they were in the house, he was like, yo, you walking around all mopey. Bring that dog out. He started hitting her. Like toughen up. So I know I want to see tough Kara out here. You know, Rachel had tell like the reason why some other people were rooting for them outside of the era, like, yeah, we want her to stay with Era 2 because there's going to be drama with her, Laurel, and Bananas. But yes, Kara was able to pull out the victory at the last minute. That was a lot closer of a battle than Brandon and Ryan. And sorry, Brandon, you're good friends with Leroy, so he could tell you how this feels. I'm going to have to drag you because okay, what are you doing? You're just here. You're just here for an appearance check at this point. You damn scrub. You damn unloyal friend. You're a bum. You're a bum. How many times you've been on this show and never made it past episode 5? What are you even doing here? You were partners with Cara Maria at one point. Like, you're just a straight bum. Like, what's going on here? You're supposed to represent for the brothers. All we got is Darrell. And Darrell's like, he's about to get Medicare. Like, what are we doing here? How the hell is a brother that's about to get Medicare doing better than you?
Why is Darrell catching strays?
But I'm just saying. No, I'm saying Darrell's the only one representing. He's pushing past 40, 44. I'm like, oh man. Like, Brandon, what's going on? You got a nice haircut before the elimination and you still couldn't do well? You're making Ryan look impressive, right? Like, I gotta say that like Stephen A. Fitz, Michael Olawakandy, Ryan. You making Ryan look like a beast out here? They say Ryan look like a Tasmanian devil while you going around like, I'm driving Miss Stacy. Let me get this chain out the way. Like, come on, man.
Oh my god.
Ryan won. That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, we knew that. We knew it was over for Brandon when he was getting the haircut. This is it. Leroy is just there to give haircuts. Leroy and Brandon just planning their exit strategy.
On-site barber.
That's it. Just planning the exit strategy out here. God. And then they're done.
I do want to say congratulations to Kellyanne, though. She got married this last weekend.
Yes.
Good for her.
She looked amazing.
Kellyanne would have won pretty much. I think she would have beat most, if not Laurel and Kara, anyone else, even as someone like an Emily. I think that she would have had a better chance against any of them.
I'd say there's maybe three or four people that she wouldn't have beat, and Kara was just one of them.
Yeah. Shout out to Kellyanne.
We learn after everybody gets eliminated, of course. TJ's like, oh, hold on, stick around. And then everyone's like, oh, what does stick around mean? You know, we talked about the possibility of a redemption house, because that was kind of a staple for a few eras or a few seasons there. It was not redemption house. It is instead vote for homecoming queen and king and rate them.
Karma point.
Yeah. Rate them out of 10. Karma points, and then how they will be used later on, we will find out.
I really feel like they should be cutting Taylor Swift a check for this season. You're gonna have eras, gonna have karma. Like, I mean, this feels a little cheap.
We got bad blood. Everybody's got bad blood out there. What other Taylor Swift references?
I mean, we have 10,000 songs to pull from.
Good point.
They also did, or was it next episode? It was next episode. We'll talk about that. Where they pick like the leaders and everything, the people, the winners. Yeah, that was next episode. So we'll talk about that at the end of next episode. So yes, everyone did karma points. We'll see how that plays in later on. Episode 3, the daily challenge was a dragon boat race.
Yeah.
And Arrow One couldn't get their shit together at all.
At like all.
That's all we were praising during our previews, Arrow One, and they immediately let us down.
Just fell apart.
Yeah. They couldn't get anything together, Arrow One. Poor.
I mean, we know whose fault it really is. If you look at the cast for Era One, you know. Yep.
It's Anissa's fault. I'm going to only blame Anissa. And she didn't want to be a captain. She was like, nope, I'm not doing it. It was.
I like to blame everything in my life on Anissa, to be honest.
Fair. Very fair.
Very fair.
So they do a dragon boat race, and then once you go there, you have to do an eating challenge. Some of this shit looked absolutely god awful too. Like, I was like, oh, sometimes I feel like I might like try it, just pick, all right, some of this was like, oh, I don't know about that.
I think if I didn't know what some of it was, it might be easier to try, but then I get in my head and I'm like, no way I'm putting this in my mouth. Like, that's not happening. I will say, I don't know if you guys saw the drama on Twitter over this eating challenge. A lot of people talking about how it's bullshit that a certain challenger named Victoria gets to decide that she's vegan when it's convenient for her. And how there have been many people throughout the years who have been vegan or vegetarian, or, you know, because of their religion, they weren't supposed to eat things. There have been people who were like had allergies and they still always had to eat everything. And then now it's, you know, oh, well, let's give you your special food since you're vegan. Like, no, it either has to be the same thing for everybody, or just stop doing the eating challenges. Also, I tend to block out the eating challenges because I don't like watching people vomit, and that's always what happens. But am I imagining this? Or did it not used to be that they had to actually swallow before they could throw it up?
Yeah, because it used to be swallow and then like show your mouth to make sure it was down. And then, everybody just threw up like once the challenge was over.
Yeah, especially like in a final where they know they're getting ready to run, they would make themselves throw up so it wouldn't be sitting on their stomach. But now they just like put it in their mouth and chew once and then spit it out. And I'm like, this is a tasting challenge at this point. It's not even an eating challenge. Like, yeah, I can just put it in my mouth and gag and spit it out afterwards. Having to actually chew it and swallow it is the difficult part.
And then after they did the eating, it was put all the seasons of the challenge in order on this giant.
That would be SP3's thing. You could definitely do that. Me and Jeremy could not.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I'd be Tori. I'd be the Tori of our team. I'll take Tori credit. Give Tori credit.
Jeremy will be like, that one season where they had people and you're like, oh, season 32, that was like, and we're like, sure? Like, did we actually watch that?
My memory is way too awful on this kind of stuff.
By the time this season's over, I will remember nothing from it. Like, right.
Era 3, where it was victorious here. And they, so before the daily started, they picked captains. And so every era had a female and a male, basically captain or representative. And then we learned that the winning era, their captains get to choose who goes into the elimination against the losing era. So if you are part of the losing era, that your two captains automatically go into the elimination. If you're part of the winning era, you choose between the other two eras captains who they face in the elimination.
Captain. Right.
Yeah. And so the captains were for era one, it was Jody and Darrell. For era two, it was Derek and Aviv, I believe.
Yeah.
For era three, it was Tony and Avery. And for era four, it was Kylan and Casey.
Yeah. Right.
So Darrell and Jody had to go straight into the elimination because era one sucked and they lost this. So then we get into sort of the deliberation process of, okay, who are Tony and Avery going to pick? And he didn't want to mess up with, you're going to have to correct me on this one, SP3.
So when they get back to the house, this is where the mind thing starts happening, because immediately Josh goes to Tony and tells him, like, yo, if you pick era two, you'll have era four in your back pocket, and you know, we'll be good with you, we'll protect you, just don't pick Kylan and Casey, and you know, we'll help you out. So he was like, all right, cool. He was like I can't really depend on my own era just voted me in to the last elimination, so let me work with era four. Meanwhile, on the other side, Avery is basically best friends and lived with Derek, who is on era two. So basically, before we even get to them and the deliberation, they established that, okay, these two are going to have an issue because one's going to have to go with what the other one wants, because Avery's not voting for Derek, and now Tony is basically trying to make a deal with Era 4, so he's not going to vote for Era 4.
And Tony basically threatened of, oh, okay, you know, if we got to go in, because Avery didn't want to vote for Era 3 and Tony didn't want to vote.
Era 2, sorry.
They are Era 3. And Tony didn't want to vote for Era 4. And so, but Tony was basically like, oh, I'm going to play my trump card of like, well, if we got to go in, we'll go in. And Avery just called the bluff, was like, okay, fine, we'll go in then. And Tony even admitted, like, yeah, she kind of like called my bluff there. Like, that was what I was planning to just use that and thought she would back down, and she didn't. So they go to the elimination and TJ's like, what's your decision? They say they're at a stalemate. TJ's like, don't fuck with me. If that's what you guys are doing, then all right, you're going down. You're coming down here and you're going to play in this elimination. And that is when everybody turns against Tony of, he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be part of the challenge. He's just ready to go home. Go ahead, Cher.
Okay. Why is it that Avery did the exact same thing as Tony, but Tony's the bad guy? Avery refused to compromise on hers as well, because that's what was beneficial for her game. Tony was trying to make allies. He hasn't been here in a long time. He's trying to make allies and do things that are beneficial for his game. He knows Bananas is not going to help him out. Like, he's seen this. He knows that he's only useful to Bananas when he's useful to Bananas. So he's trying to find new people to be in alliance with to save his own ass. Avery has someone already that she's in alliance with. Now, do we think Derek is going to be in a position to save her ass? No, probably not. But that's who she's there with. He's trying to find those people. They're both doing the exact same thing. They're both refusing to compromise on what they want and not just give the other person what they want. But nobody's questioning if Avery is just wanting to go home. It's just that Tony's just wanting to go home. And I did see that he made, I think it may have been on Instagram, he made a post about it. And he was like, you know, I don't have hard feelings towards Avery. But basically, he just had a conversation with her and said that he missed his kids. He missed his wife and he missed his kids. And then she used that against him and went around the house telling everybody, oh, well, he misses his kids. He wants to go home anyway. Like, clearly from someone that's not a parent, because as we all know, you're going to miss your kids. That doesn't mean that you want being gone from them to be for nothing. It doesn't mean that you want to go home right then. Like, he left them for a purpose, to win. Like, so I thought that that was pretty shitty, because several of the challengers were like, yeah, like, she did. She went around telling everybody, like, oh, he just wants to go home anyway. He misses his kids. I mean, you know, we've had several people who always talk about Corey. Corey thinks he's the only dad on the show. Like, we have several people who talk about their kids. We know CT and little Chris, like, I mean, we got it. But I didn't like the way that, and I'm not even a big Tony fan, but I didn't like the way that he was portrayed to be the bad guy in the situation, because he was just trying to benefit his own game. He was trying to do what would be best for him. He could have been like, okay, let's throw in four. And then guess what? If they would have went in and beat, was it Derek and Aviv? Mm-hmm. If they would have went in and beat Derek and Aviv, which in all likelihood, they probably would, or not, it wasn't them. They were
Darrell and Jody.
Yeah. They would have went in and went against them. Okay, maybe they would have won. Then they're going to be going after Tony as soon as they come back. And Tony's already went in once. Like, they are not, and Avery's not going to have any loyalty to him. She's still going to be going for who she wants to go for. So none of that would have benefited him. Like, he would have gotten nowhere with that move. He got nowhere anyway, as we'll cover. But I don't think he was in the wrong. And it got somehow spun into Avery being like the poor woman being kept down because she's a woman. And so he should do what she wants. And I just didn't agree with it. Like, I felt like I understood where both of them were coming from. They both had their own stance on it and neither of them compromised. And so somehow that made Tony the bad guy because he didn't do what she wanted. And I didn't like it. I was impressed with Avery in the elimination. That's the first time I've seen her do anything that was impressive since she got in that fight with Naya.
Oh, I do understand why Tony would be viewed as the bad guy, only because I think that, yeah, Avery basically already had an established, you know, friendship and tightness with Derek, and Tony was basically trying to make something. He didn't have a real connection to Kylan and Casey. If he would have made the argument that this is what Darrell and Jody want, because Darrell literally threw Aviv under the bus because he just had that conversation with Aviv earlier in the episode, like, oh yeah, we're gonna have each other's back. And then immediately when he was put in that scenario of Tony asking him, who do you want to face? He was like, oh, we'd rather face Derek and Aviv, because and I understand where Darrell was coming from, because he's like, I just lost to Kylan. Why would I want to face Kylan again? I just lost to him in the last season. Yeah. I'd rather face Derek. So I understood. if Tony would have made that argument to everybody, be like, this is what Darrell and Jody want. I'm not trying to, you know, ruffle feathers with them. I'm not trying to ruffle feathers with Era 4. I am giving them, I'm going to give him what he wants. And that's what I'm adamant at. I have a close, tight relationship, because he said in his exit interviews, he said that he's friends with Darrell. He was like, Darrell said he got me. If he give him what he wants, he said he got me. So he's trying to get in with both Era 1 and Era 4 at the same time. If he would have made that his argument, then fine.
Yeah.
Yes, there's still going to be people like your Ryans and your Laurels who's going to be like, oh, he's just a man trying to keep down a woman. Yes, he's still going to get that. But I think that if he would explain that to everybody instead of coming in very cocky, like when he was talking to Derek in the kitchen, he's like, yeah, I think that Derek is gonna save her at the last minute, and I think it's going to be fine. And it's like, no, dude, you just fucked up your whole game for just being petty, basically.
I think that part of Tony's problem, too, is he is so far removed from being regularly on the challenge, and he doesn't understand it's a different game now. And I think that is a big part of, because before, people were scared of Tony. People didn't want to have to go against Tony, but now they're like, all right, you know, like, he's not the same, even though he's not ever been, like, it's never really been Tony time, if we want to be honest. His clocks are running a little slow. But I definitely agree with you, but I still see where he's coming from, because, like, if it was Bananas that he was like, no, I'm not voting Bananas, like, I would have thought he was fucking stupid for saying that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, no, vote Bananas. Like, he is your one person, and I'm still saying vote Bananas. But you just, I mean, you have to be able to play your own game, because we all know they're not going to be teammates in the end. So yeah. I definitely got it. But the whole, it wasn't just the people in the house either, because the narrative online, like, I'm in a challenge group on Facebook, and it was the same of, like, everybody just bashing Tony and how he just wouldn't do what she wanted because she's a woman. And I'm like, well, damn, I hope not. He's got like 5 women in his house. Like, I hope that's not how he views things. That man is surrounded by women.
That's a good point.
So the game that they play in the elimination here is basically a puzzle that was way too complicated for me to understand, because you kind of had to like pause it to get all the rules and stuff down. But they get different color blocks, and it was like a red block cannot touch a blue block and can only be between a yellow block. It was all these complicated ass rules
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're like, you're down there, it makes a lot more sense, and if you're in the moment. But if it pops on the screen for like 2 seconds, mm-hmm. and then you're trying to like figure it out of how it works, and it's, and unless you're pausing it and checking it out, it's very tough. Tony loses to Darrell, who pulls a hamstring midway through it. He thought Grandpa. He tore an ACL.
Why he called you old, Grandpa.
I said Medicaid, yo. What did we get? Yeah. We got well,
he's going to get home and has to have a hip replacement.
Tony loses and Avery wins. Avery beats Jody. That seemed like it was close. They both had to like start over pretty early on, and Avery was just a little bit quicker overall. Tony, I don't know if he got out of the starting blocks.
I don't
Tony,
know.
Okay, yeah, as someone that has ADHD though, I read those directions. I paused it. I read the directions again. I still didn't fucking understand what was supposed to be happening. I cannot imagine being down there and just being told them and being like, I have to remember all of this and do it quickly, faster than the other person. Like, you already have so much pressure. There's no way. I would have been like, somebody write these directions out for me. Like, I can't do this. It was too much.
It was very, yeah, just watching it, it was difficult. I was like, yeah, sure. If you say so.
Looks right to me.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the people on the sidelines are like, no, you have to put this there and this there. And so, like, they were getting coached up.
And everybody was helping was helping Avery during hers, and yeah. Everybody from Era 3 was not helping Tony.
Yeah.
Except for Devin. Devin tried.
So Tony loses, Jody loses, and then we learn that the winners now pick the captains for each era for the next challenge. So Darrell has to pick who's going to be the captains for all the eras, and Avery picks
the women.
Yeah. And of course, they're both just like, anybody want to volunteer? Anybody just want to go ahead and take this one?
You like the position as a viewer because you're like, oh, this is going to cause drama. Like,
yeah.
But as someone in the competition, you don't want to get picked. And you don't want to be the person who's having to pick other people.
No. That can ruin your game and cause a whole vendetta.
Yeah. And that's why they're like, anybody just want to like volunteer for this? And I think the only person that really volunteered was Jordan. Jordan's like, all right, yeah, I'll take.
Of course.
Yes.
I'll make it easier on Avery. Yeah,
Jordan's like, personally, I'll be the captain of all four teams, men and women. Just let me be.
So Anissa and Derek get picked for Era 1, Laurel and Bananas for Era 2, Naya and Jordan, and Jenny and Horacio were the
I like Naya and having to do it together. Do either of you follow Naya on Twitter?
No.
Yes, she's awesome.
She is hilarious, Jeremy. You have to follow her. She was she's been live tweeting the episodes, and it's just thirst tweeting. It's just talking about how hot all of the men are, and then sometimes how hot the women are, even though she says she's straight. And she's like, I mean, I'm in this house, and she's like, I got Kylan, I got Josh. Like, she just named off everybody.
Because we didn't even talk about that they did the whole toga party in this episode, where the first half of the episode, she's like making out with Josh in the pool. Mm-hmm. They're all getting all close. Then they do the toga party, and she starts making out with Kylan and goes to his bed and getting clapping those cheeks in the bed. And basically, Tori and some others, Corey, were downstairs making fun of Josh because he basically got played by Naya. And Josh got upset at Tori, saying that, you know, she's not really a friend, that she voted him out on the last season. Now she's basically joking on him, and you're supposed to be one of my close friends, and we're not friends anymore. And I love Tori is just an awful person when she ever gets confronted by anything.
When she gets confronted, I feel like
she's you didn't always, need that. She went from denying it and yelling at him to crying to when she saw that her tears weren't working, she got mad again. Then she started crying again. And, you know, we all know how we feel about Josh. Sorry, chat. We give you him every season. We know how we find Josh quite annoying. He was right in this situation.
Yes.
Because if you're going to call yourself my friend, you're not going to sit around and talk shit about me to other people. Like, if we were in this situation and something like that happened to me, I would fully expect all of my friends to make fun of me about it to my face.
Yes. And be
like, yeah, look what happened to you, you fucking idiot. But not behind my back. Like, you can make fun of me all day to my face, but you're not going to make fun of me to other people. And I loved that he didn't buy into her bullshit. He's just like, no, we're not doing this. And you can tell he doesn't actually forgive her, but he's like, I got to work with her. I got to deal with this. So I'm just gonna set it aside.
He could have won at least two episodes. Their whole coming to Jesus the next freaking episode. So this whole thing, that's why we didn't mention it on our first go around of episode 3, is because it got null and void the very next episode.
Yeah.
We're friends again. Oh.
Yeah, and I mean, it's Josh, so I'm surprised it didn't happen 40 seconds later. But, like, I was kind of shocked that they didn't edit it out, because we know how they like to protect Tori. So I was kind of shocked that they didn't edit it out. But they do really like Josh, too, so maybe that's why. But I was glad. I was glad that it was on there and people got to see how she is, because so many people are constantly like, people just dislike Tori for no reason. There's no reason to treat her that way. No, she is like Laurel Jr., only she's too much of a coward to ever say anything to people. She's just always talking shit about everybody behind their back. Laurel will go insane in your face. Like, that's the difference. And that whole situation was just real weird anyway, because he didn't even seem upset about it. He was like, she's a grown woman. Like, we're not dating. If she wants to go hook up with somebody, she can. Like, they all wanted him to be upset.
Yeah. It's just stupid. It's just stupid stuff. But yes, the very last episode for us to recap is episode 4. And it was trivia. So that was good. That was good. Yeah, I was happy about that. And it was challenge-based trivia, which is always the best one.
I hate challenge-based trivia because I don't remember any of it.
I like the answers for a vast majority of these.
I don't ever remember any of it. I'd be like, did I watch that season?
we need to get somebody, whether it be our good friend Alan Geary or somebody like that, to do a trivia challenge between the three of us.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's just challenge-based?
Challenge-based trivia.
Can it be me and Jeremy against you?
Yeah, yeah, we'd have to be teaming here, because if it's all...
And Wikipedia. We're also going to need Wikipedia on our side.
Right, we get like a 30-second clock, and we can, you know, try to quickly search or something. Yeah, it's... Like, the challenge trivia, for the challenge, like, it's fine. It's so much funnier to me when, like, they just don't know the most basic shit.
When they're like, spell Canada and they can't. Yeah. That's the part that's always funny to me.
Yeah.
Or when they're like, how many stripes are on the United States flag? And they're like,
it's yeah, the, so the funny. general knowledge, when they don't know that shit, it's so much funnier to me than the challenge based trivia. It's still good. It's still funny. But like, yeah, when they just like are stupid in a general way, it's so much better.
I will say challenge-based trivia for this season was the right choice, just because it was season 40 and everything. And so many, you know, like the newer people aren't probably going to know the stuff from when Mark was on. But Mark's probably not going to know the stuff from when they were on. So I did like that it was, you know, the eras with the challenge trivia. But I still just never know any of it. And I'm like, who's that person? And I have to, like, Google their name because they're talking about someone. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen them before. And then I've watched them on 6 different challenges. Like,
that's wonderful.
So... It is challenge-based trivia, and it's you do the question, and if you get it wrong, 2 people get like ejected off of this platform and fall into the ocean.
Which is always the best. I love when they just knock.
Except when they killed CT this episode.
Oh my god, they almost killed that man.
That's true.
This poor old man in his mid to late 40s. Like, goddamn, what are you doing?
They about murdered poor CT. On this shit. It came down to era 3 and era 2, and Jordan basically threw this thing.
It went to
overtime, essentially, because they were both still up there on the platform, era 2 and era 3, and then era 2 had the chance to win it, and they had multiple chances to win it, and they kept getting it wrong, so everybody got ejected, and then it came down to, okay, we're going to go to overtime.
Sudden death. I think this, this is the first time we've ever had sudden death, especially in a trivia challenge.
Yeah. And it came down to Jordan and I forgot who Air 2 picked.
Laurel.
Laurel. Okay.
And they were the 2 captains.
Yeah. And the question was who was, it's Corey's wife now or girlfriend now. Yeah, or whatever.
Laurel got the question of what was the first season that had Paul Russell, and she answered it right, the duel. So then Jordan got the question of who was Devin's partner on Rivals 3.
Devin's partner, yeah.
So literally Corey's like jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. He's like, he's like jumping. He's like jumping up and down, like pointing at himself. And Jordan's like, not looking over there. He's like, Sylvia? And he wasn't even believable. He was not even believable with getting this role. Like, I was like, it's really obvious. He's blowing this for y'all. It's really obvious.
Devin and Corey, after it was over, were talking like, Jordan was at like our baby shower and everything. It was like
the gender reveal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, Corey said they literally were talking about Cheyenne the day before.
And then we do find out Jordan does a confessional and is like, yeah, may have gotten that one wrong on purpose.
No, he didn't. He lied, but he had the biggest shit eating grin on his face. He was like, no, it just slipped my mind.
Oh, okay. The old I.
He said it like that.
Yeah, I thought he just flat out said, yeah, may have gotten that wrong on purpose. But no, yeah, he was so unbelievable in his confessional, whereas basically, like, yeah, he admitted without admitting that he didn't get that.
And he kept denying it on Instagram and being like, I really just couldn't remember. And people are like, shut the hell up, Jordan.
Got to protect kayfabe, brother.
God.
So Era 2 wins, which means Bananas and Laurel are safe. And then it comes.
And again, Laurel is the worst winner ever because she couldn't just take the win and celebrate with her team. She said, ha ha, Darrell. Ha, because Darrell voted her.
Yeah, that was so.
Ha ha, Darrell. Ha ha. He was like, you ain't shit. And like, And Darrell's like, yo, shut up, Laurel. Like, what are you talking? He's like, no, you shut up. He's like, shut up. Like, you fake bully. Like, I'm like that.
Yeah.
Darrell talk back to it. And then Laurel's just gonna throw him under the fucking bus, saying that, oh, the only reason you didn't vote for me is because I don't give you massages like Emily. Like, what did that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
This was so Laurel, honestly. Like,
but did y'all see Cora standing next to her, like looking like, she looked like she wanted to get under the bus that Laurel just threw Darrell under. She's like, why are you this way? Like, she had the face of like, why is she this way?
So many people from the challenge I've seen like comment about how fucking uncomfortable that situation was, of her yelling those things at Darrell, and Darrell was livid, and they're like, he has a family at home and you're on here like just over what? Like, what did he do? Because he made you captain, he had to make somebody captain. He literally had to. He didn't throw you in an elimination. Like, he made you captain. You fucking won. So what was the point in that? What was the benefit that you got from doing that? She is just mean. I was glad that he freaking called her a bully. Like, there's no reason to act. She is 40 years old on there acting like that. Like, that was just uncalled for, honestly. I mean, we all already know, like, we all get irritated with the shit that she says to Kara. But, like, at least her and Kara have a reason, I guess, to have beef with each other. Like, what the fuck is your problem with Darrell, who's minding his business over here? Like, that was just weird.
It was, again, it was very Laurel.
Yeah.
Very Laurel. Of just, she can't be, like, a gracious winner.
No.
Ever. Ever. She has to do stuff like this. Last place was Era 4, so Ginny and Horacio were going in. And then it came down to Laurel and Bananas had to vote between either Anissa and Derek or Naya and Jordan. Derek puts together a PowerPoint presentation of why.
Derek was awesome. This is Derek's shining moment. He was amazing in the celebration. He was like, can I approach the bridge?
It's funny because for years we've been told they didn't cast Derek because he didn't bring drama or have personality and he was just a good competitor. That should get him solid for the next 10 seasons. Like, oh my God.
He was like, you see, us, we're on life support.
Yeah. It's like, we're basically dead. So we're pretty easy to get beat. Here, you can beat us every single challenge. It'll be fine.
God. And it didn't work.
No, it didn't. They still ended up going into
because
the
Laurel was the one running the game here. She was not going to vote in Jordan, which this is the logic that she tried to provide for anyone who didn't see this episode. This is the logic she tried to provide. She said the last season she was on, Ride or Dies, she lost an elimination to Jordan. And, you know, when she left, she had issues with a couple of people and she told Jordan to eliminate those people and Jordan went and did it. So when a person does a solid like that for her, she's not going to vote for them. Leaving out the big detail that the other person who was teammates with Jordan was Anissa, who she was voting in.
Yeah. But to be fair, we all know that Anissa is not the reason that she got beat in that elimination.
So. No, but don't use that as your reason. You have slept
she's
with Jordan.
Insane. Like SP3.
Like you were in a relationship with Jordan. Jordan has clapped your cheeks. Like there's a bunch of
Jordan has clapped a lot of these women's cheeks. If we're being honest,
most of the people on his own team, Tori, Janae, Naya, he clapped all of them cheeks, and he clapped Laurel's cheek. All she had to do is
he clapped my cheek.
I'm not voting for him.
I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure he and Anissa have hooked up.
Really?
I'm not putting that on Jordan.
I never hear that one. I know Corey has.
We know that.
They play a giant game of jacks, essentially. Yeah. They have to roll a ball down this.
This was a convoluted elimination.
Yeah. And then you pick up jacks and they. I guess Anissa did well. And they talked about like the cardio and Jenny, of course, very strong and everything. Like, oh, well, her cardio is awful. And Anissa was almost won because of the cardio. And then Derek and Horacio came down to like the final, like it was a buzzer beater. Like the challenge ended in like, oh, we don't know who won. We have no idea. And they said that Derek ended up winning. So Anissa is gone. And
yeah, that was a bunch of drama because when the buzzer sounded and they did the little view of both guys' boards, Horacio had all 40 jacks in his board, Derek had 39. But apparently Derek, because he missed one of the balls because he tried to grab like 6 jacks at once and then catch the ball, he banged into his board and a bunch of his jacks came out. So apparently they didn't put all the jacks back in that he had put in. So that's where like the big controversy was. Like they literally on Challenge Mania podcast had to have Horacio on. They have Derek on, of course, because he's one of the co-hosts, and they watched it over to see like where everything went wrong with this one. And because Horacio was very adamant. This is the most Horacio has talked.
Yeah.
And it's not even on the show.
Ever. And basically they said that there was someone that was behind both boards. If one fell out, they were supposed to pick them up and put them back in if it had already been in the board. They missed one of Derek's, and so it looked like Derek didn't have them all in, but he had them all in. It didn't matter if they'd fell out as long as they had been put into the wall. But they didn't explain that. All they had to do was have TJ do a voiceover like he's done 8 million times to change the rules on things afterwards. And it would have been fine. It would have been, you know, even if it falls out of the wall, you put it in the wall, you count, whatever. Oh my God, people were losing their minds over this, saying that Derek didn't really win, that it was rigged for Derek. They don't care about Era 1. We know Era 1 is not doing this. Like, are you kidding me right now? And they're like, nope, they rigged it. They rigged it against Horacio. Horacio's never going to be on the show again. And I'm like, and of course, who was egging it on online? Jordan. Jordan and Devin. Devin did like a whole, like he was freaking the thing that Pat McAfee would do, like the NFL thing on Raw for a while where he'd like circle.
Telestrator.
That was fucking Devin on there, like, as you see, this is empty right here. And then we're going to pan away. Oh, we pan back and it's in the wall. I'm like, shut up, Devin. God.
So Horacio gone, Anissa gone, and CT is alive, by the way. He did apparently go get checked out, and he was fine
with no shoes. Did you see him walking back in? They took him to the hospital and he didn't have shoes.
Poor CT.
He's gonna have bunions.
He's the walking wounded. Darrell's the walking wounded. Like, they only got one male who ain't two males, and Derek and Brad, who aren't wounded at this
point. Brad was around.
We don't know about Derek, because when Jeremy saw him, his leg was
He looked like the walking wounded. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I have seen Brad, because he's been clapping them Emily cheeks. They did establish they've been taking long showers together. They had their little moment where they had some wine when they were out at the club.
You know what? Good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
Go for it.
The draft here. A lot of eliminations. So we've got Kellyanne's gone. Paulie's gone. Mm. Oh, back to
two for sure. Yeah, for real.
Tony's gone. Oh boy.
Another back to back for Cher.
Cher. Jody's gone, right?
Yes. I said Jody's another back to back.
Oh no. Mark's gone. Mark, oh.
Thank God Brad's still there clapping cheeks. He would have been another back to back.
Leroy.
Brad is gone. Oh my God. Damn, Cher. They took out your whole team in this three.
Katie's gone.
Oh my God. Katie's another back to back for her. Jesus Christ.
Horacio's gone. Where's Brandon?
Brandon is the one back to back for Cher before Katie. Oh yeah, you did.
Yeah. I got him. Okay. Is that Amanda's gone? Anissa's gone. So that's for the chat. Is that everybody? Am I missing anybody?
I think that is everybody. Let me just skim through here. Nerys from me is gone.
Where's she at?
At the bottom, right where you were, right under.
Okay.
Olivia.
Okay. All right.
You look at you sitting pretty. You haven't had any eliminations.
No, I lost Leroy. I lost. Oh, okay. Leroy. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good?
I think that is everybody.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. What a purge.
Oh, poor Cher.
Poor Cher.
She's got lost.
She's got Kara. She's got Jordan.
But Kara and Jordan are strong though.
Yeah.
Kara and Jordan are strong.
Yeah. Brad's copping cheeks, so he's strong. And Derek's got Avery having his back, so he's good. So.
Yeah. All right. So that is where things stand with the. I feel like I missed somebody, but maybe I didn't.
No, I went through. Okay. I did my right. Skim through. My eyes skimmed through. It looked like you got everybody that is out.
I trust you when it comes to this stuff. So Cher, her team really got purged.
Yo, man, that's a tough one.
Cher's gone on this. She decided she could not take.
Yeah, she couldn't.
Draft
she knew what was about to happen, and she was just like, put my camera off because.
Okay. I think that's everything. I don't think we need to get into anything else. We'll talk about this week's episode next week. We got NBA season right around the corner. Everyone, come here for the NBA preview where I've correctly picked the champions 2 years in a row. And SP3, don't roll your eyes. How dare you? I'm just stating facts out here.
It's because I keep picking the Lakers. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's your choice. You are making that choice. Are you going to pick the Lakers again this year? You can't pick them again this year.
I mean, they are going to have the coach of the year.
It's your choice. No one's forcing you to pick the Lakers. I'm trying to give you an out.
I feel forced. I have to be the representative of the Laker Nation.
I don't know where Cher Delaware has gone. Hopefully things are okay. I assume she does not want to plug anything. She never plugs anything, but I always like to give the option if she would like to plug anything.
To be fair.
SP Theory, would you like to plug anything?
Follow me on the Twitter machine at True Hill SP3. Go, like we said at the beginning, go to si.com. You can see my first piece for my interview with Moose from last week. We talked about his matchup with Nick Nemeth at Victory Road, as well as the WWE NXT partnership, and some NFL talk as well from Moose. Might be putting out another article from that interview as well this week. I'm going to be doing a feature for Sports Illustrated, the top 10 highest paid WWE wrestlers. That's probably going to come out later this week, so be on the lookout for that. And go to the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. I'll be live at 1:05 p.m. Eastern time, so in less than 2 hours, with Chase Oliver from the Around the Point Network to review Monday Night Raw this week, talking about CM Punk finally having a great promo for the first time in like 6 months. And the New Day implosion coming soon.
There you go. Appreciate it, SP3. Appreciate you as always. Appreciate the chat. Thank you to Cher Delaware, wherever she is. We'll be back next week, everyone. Until then, enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. Bye, everybody.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.